Hi Jeff, how you doing? Jeff? Jeffrey?
I'm unmute.
Jeff, I don't see you.
I don't want you to see me. I'm ugly.
We don't want to be seen. How's your daughter?
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
He said, okay. Yeah, I mean, what you got there?
What do I got there? On my arm? It's called a sleeve? I have another one over here.
Good. What's happening with the kids?
Tristan's in Israel studying in Yeshiva. Jillian's in medical school.
Oh, very nice. Good. When did you get to Israel? When did you go?
I've been there about a month.
Good. So you went there before. He's out of.
Let's see. He got there. He left the 20th of August.
Yeah.
Jillian's in medical school. She's number one in her medical school right now. First round of tests.
What school is she in?
It's called New York Medical College.
Great.
It's associated with Touro University.
Super.
It's in Valhalla, New York.
Very nice. All right.
Where all the dead Vikings are.
What kind of doctor should you want to be, besides a good one?
A surgeon.
What does she want to cut?
People. Since she was a little girl.
Any particular parts? I mean,
she's interested in trauma surgery.
Who?
Trauma. T-R-A-U-M-A.
You mean just
like emergency room surgery. We got a motor vehicle accident out on the Dan Ryan. Let's bring him in and cut him up. That's Jillian.
Okay. Right, good. It's okay with me.
Yeah.
Yes, me.
May you never meet her.
Huh?
May you never need her.
Listen, you know, you never know when you need a good doctor. What did hurt? Not looking for doctors, but it's just in case. You know, you got to have insurance.
Who else is on?
I don't know. It's me and you and Rabbeinu Shalom.
I'm on.
That sounded to me almost like Michelle.
Nope, it's Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, you guys.
Anyway, so Rabbi will be on any second now.
How was Slicha said at the show last night?
I didn't go.
I mean, did they have a minion?
We had Yehuda Green on for a little bit.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was Zoom, Yehuda. I'm talking about the show itself.
Who didn't go?
I mean, nobody went?
Not in this household. Considering this household is two people. Patty, did you go to sleep out?
No, I didn't. I'm recovering. I have a brand new hip.
Hey, you know, you're a hippie lady.
Modern did you get? What's the transmission that one has?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said, which model did you get? Which
I got one that fit me perfectly is all I can tell you.
It's not turbocharged or anything?
No, it's just a regular hip with ceramic and stainless steel. And I forget, there's a third component to it.
So you ready to take some dancing lessons?
I am more ready today than I was a month ago. But I'm having a pretty good recovery, so I'm really happy about that. I'm off, it's less than 3 weeks, and I'm off a walker, and I'm mostly off the cane. And I'm just resting a lot to recover from the surgery.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right, refuah shleima, as they say.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Have you had this hip issue for a while, or is it something that...
No, it's been ongoing for a couple of years, and I was supposed to have it in March, and the coronavirus stopped that surgery, and so it was rescheduled for October, and then they had an opening in August, so I took it.
And what hospital was this in?
Well, I went to a non-COVID hospital, so I was in Broomfield, Colorado.
They specialize in that type of surgery?
Well, that's where the surgeon had moved his surgeries, simply because they weren't accepting anybody with COVID. There had been no COVID patients there at all. So it's like a very small hospital between here and Boulder.
Okay.
As long
as it works.
Yep.
Rabbi, shalom aleichem.
Oh, the chazan is due.
No, you're back. I'm back among the living again.
I always enjoy when Kanta Kol is on, because I can see through his window in the back. I can see the beautiful lake, and I can see the beautiful flowers. Mamish, it's always sunny through the window behind you.
You're welcome to come and visit.
Oh, not as colorful necessarily as Shlomo's screen here, but...
Listen, I've missed a number of sessions. Where are we holding the Mushroom?
We are in Samuel 2, chapter 3.
Oh, okay. We'll find it.
So where's Cantor Cole? Where are you living at the moment?
You have to call him Florida. Can't you tell from the weather?
I can't see anything.
No, he's in Maryland right now.
Oh, Maryland.
We are in, I'm in Baltimore as we speak.
Uh-huh. Maryland, life is but a dream.
How are you girls, Rabbi?
Girls, how are you? They say they are doing good.
You know,
it's been too long since they fished for trout, they say, though.
Listen, you know, this is a great time to get nothing going. You know, the price now is cheap.
You're telling me? I would go for all five in one shot right now.
You can have five for one, what would normally cost. You can do the whole
That's
five.
That's it. This is a dream for me.
Yeah.
All right. Shlomo, are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. We have the Sephardi on.
It's trying to load. Sorry.
Okay. No worry. I'll start. Everything else will catch up. All right. I'm sure everyone has a book in front of them, so they're fine. They're all good. New Yala. We had last left off last time. We were discussing the idea. If you remember, Shaul was killed, unfortunately. That was at the very end of Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel Beis opened up with news getting to David that his father-in-law had been killed. And while there were definitely some people, namely the Shevet of Yehuda, who were open to the idea and accepting of David as the new king, not everybody was. And in fact, Avner, the
general,
thank you, of Shaul's army, he in fact instead put Ishbosheth in charge. Ishbosheth being the son of Shaul, and he said that in fact Shaul was the rightful king, and therefore it should go to his son as the next. So that was the understanding.
Was Ishbosheth his real name, or is that an assigned name?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Actually, we'll discuss. But as far as we know, it's his real name as of now. His name was Ishbosheth. And if you remember, last time there was a somewhat of a battle between David's men and Shaul's men, or in this case, Ishbosheth's men. David's men were victorious. However, Avner killed Asael, the brother of Yoab ben Tseruiah, and that almost led to a civil war, but the cooler heads prevailed. Okay, let's go. Perek, give us a little bit of a longer perek. We have what to say. Fatim milchama aruka bein beis shol bein beis David v'David holi v'chazek v'beis shol holchim v'dalim. There's an ongoing battle between the people of David and the people of Shaul, and by and large, David keeps on going, and the Shaul group are getting weaker and weaker. Now, we have a bunch of psukim which don't seem to be that relevant, but we'll see from the sources they're pretty important. Vayilodu leDavid banim bechevra leibacharo Amon laAchinoam haYisraelis. So his first son is his oldest son, his bechor, is Amnon. And Amnon is the son of Ahinoam HaYisraelis. Do we know anything about this Amnon fellow? If we take a look at the sources.
Well, he was the one that had had some problem with his sister, their stepsister.
Ultimately, down the road, he's going to have some problems. That is true. But what do we know about him initially? So,
with Abigail.
So it says, let's take a look. Let's hold off a little bit. Let's read some other psukim. Mishneo kilov Abigail Eishas Novel Harkarmeli Vashkishi Avshalom Ben Macha Bastabi Melakushur. Right. So Amnon, we're going to hear a lot about him in the beginning of Lachem Aleph. When it comes to Avshalom, we're going to hear plenty about him here. How about the fellow in the middle, Kilov? Who's Kilov? Well, Kilov is the son of Abigail. Abigail, if you remember, was previously married. Abigail was previously married to whom? To Novel. Right? Novel was the fellow who wouldn't share his food with the David's men, despite the fact that they were very helpful. If you look at the original source, at the sources in number one, it talks about the relationship between David and Kilov. So it says, if you remember, David went and he married Abigail after her husband died. So the Medrash tells us, in Parshas Toldos, V'yikar Saras Hamim, V'yigov Hashem as Novel V'yamos, V'yad V'yishra Dovah, Yidabar Abigail, Kachtol Olayisha. Right after her husband died, David proposed. V'achar She'eviyah, Pirish David, V'menesh Sholosh Chadashim Te'leida, V'mhoisa Me'uberetz Min Novel V'yimolav. So there's something called Havchana. After a woman gets divorced, or after a woman becomes widowed, she has to wait at least 3 months to get married. Why? Because in the event that she has a child, we have to know who the father is, right? If she gets married a month later, and then 8 months after that, she has a child, is that father the original husband, and it's a 9-month baby, or is it the second husband, and it's an 8-month baby? So therefore, you have to wait 3 months so you know. So David, in fact, even though he proposed right away, waited 3 months until he married her and lived with her. So 3 months later, they got married. She became pregnant. And they were saying, oh, yeah, this isn't really David's son. It's from the last husband. So what they did is they made this kid look exactly like David. Why did he make him look exactly like David? That no one should doubt who the father is. Right? It's a little bit like Shai and Shlomo. No one's going to deny it. He's a ringer. So right? It's the same thing with Kilov and David. Looked exactly like him. Didn't look anything like anyone else.
How do you make him look like his father?
That's what God did.
Oh, God made it. Okay, no problem. I got it.
Right. So God made it that nobody should doubt. No one should think it came from Novel. This guy's the son of Novel. Therefore, he did. As it says, how do we know this? It says, Vayihi b'choro Amnon l'achino Yisrael's Mishneyu, right? Kilov l'Avigail Eishas Novel Karmeli. Maro Lomar. Kilov. What kind of name is Kilov? Says Kulo Av, he was totally like his father. Omer David Aviv Shalzeh. There was no denying it.
He was a redhead. That's what he was.
Must have been a redhead. It's funny. People always told me that people would stop me on the street and tell me I looked like my father. People had no idea who I was. So this was my experience throughout life, except I have a distant cousin who one time went to hear me speak someplace, and he brought with him his father. Now, his father was blind, but he had a very strange type of blindness that there were rare occasions where if his blood pressure dropped, he'd be able to see for a few moments. I don't understand how that works, but that's what happened. So it happened in the middle of the time I was speaking, and this fellow leaned over to his son, and he said, "He doesn't look like a rap." So, in that case, not everybody agreed that my similarity to my father.
Yeah, but he didn't have the right pressure. He didn't have his right blood pressure.
Right. Could have been. So this guy Kilov looked just like David, we say. Not only that, but
isn't there a Gemara that talks about Kilov being one of the wisest people there? He was giving David advice.
So,
in the Gemara, I think in Brachos.
I think in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. I think it's number two. I think it's number two on our source sheet.
Oh, okay.
How do you like that?
Huh. Well, I happen to learn that, so that's why I'm telling you.
There you have it. If you did Daf Hayomi for the first week, you're okay.
I do the slow version.
Okay, good. So maybe you'll remember something. So the Gemara says there, it talks about the relationship between David and his Rebbe Mephibosheth. So he said, whenever David would paskin a shaila, go to his Rebbe and say, Mephibosheth, Rabbi, yafa danti, yafa chiyafti, did I do right? Did I say this is right? Yafa zichisi, yafa taharti, yafa tamesi. Hello, Boshti. He went away every time he paskin, then went to his Rebbe. He said, did I get it right? His Rebbe sometimes says, no, you're an idiot, Nudo, as I gate this. Amar Rebbe Yehoshua bereid Rev Idi my krav adav rav by adosecha neged malachim vole vosh son lo mifi boshes vo elo ish boshes shmo vo amar nikra shmo mifi boshes shayim mevayesh pnei dov behalacha. Right? That this mifi boshes would just embarrass David. He knew so much more than him. Lefichach zacha David yotzi menu kila. Because David didn't care that there was people who knew more than him. He wasn't embarrassed to ask. So because of that, he had his son as great as Kilov. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan, lo Kilov shmo elo Daniel shmo. His actual name was Daniel. Alam nikra shmo Kilov shayim machim pnei Mephibosheth behalacha. But that he in fact knew more than Mephibosheth knew. Alam Rishlomo bechachmaso bni imchachem lipcha yisamach ibi gamani. In fact, this Kalev was a great, great Talmud Chacham, this Kalev, this fellow. Not only that, but you see in the next Gemara, that the Gemara tells us that there are four people that never sinned their entire life. And the only reason they died is because there was a decision made at the time that the snake convinced Adam to eat from the apple, that you have to die. It says, Arba Mesubi Tayu Shal Nachash. Four people only died because of the snake. Elohim, Binyamin Ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, V'Yishai Avi David, V'Kila Ben David. It's very fascinating that David HaMelech had a father that never sinned, a son that never sinned. Of those three generations, he was the biggest sinner.
He had to make up to every Jadal.
So sometimes you got to do what you have to do. So that's the story. Okay, so these are the. So this is the story of Kilov. Kilov was a great tzaddik, right? So we said Amnon we're going to find out about later on. Avshalom we're going to find out sooner rather than later. Ravi Adonia ben Chagis, right? We're going to find out about him also. Achamishi Shvatya ben Avital. Who was Shvatya ben Avital? You ever hear about Shvatya ben Avital? The interesting, the people you heard the least of are really the most impressive. Right? The Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayos, he gives who are the leaders of the Jewish communities? Rabbi Gamliel ben Osho Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Gamliel was the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Ben Rabban Gamliel. He was not with some of the other Rabban Gamliel. That was Ben Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel Hazokin, who was Ben Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Ben Hillel Hanasi, who Hillel Abavli. See, this is the descendants of Hillel. Ashalav Nismichat Kat Minachachom Machron, Valdaita Hoysa Nikris Beis Hillel. So the fellow who started Beis Hillel, right, that's a pretty impressive guy. He was the father of Rabbi Shimon, who was the father of Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, who was the father of Rabbi Gamliel, sorry, of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the father of the other Rabbi Gamliel. And who is the person that all these people came from? The Hillel Shvatya ben Avital ben David. Shvatya was a very impressive fellow also. He had all these very impressive descendants.
Isn't Yehoshaphat the same guy there?
No, Yehoshaphat's later on. Yehoshaphat's a malach.
No, Yehoshaphat is the, I think, a different name for Shvatya.
But this is not Yehoshaphat's not the son of David. Yehoshaphat a melech, a jumping Jehoshaphat fame, that's a different person. Vashisi Yisram le'egla eishas David ilo yodol David b'chevron. Who is the sixth one? It's Yisram. That was the son of Egla. What does the word Egla mean?
Bichar.
Egla means calf.
Yeah,
I think if you call your wife a cow, it's not a good idea. That's what they told me in Chassam classes. So what does
the Indians used to call the wives a squaw? Squaw.
Okay, how did that work out for them? So, if you look at number five, the...
Squaw is also, by the way, derogatory. You don't want to call your wife a squaw.
Okay.
I understand. That's a,
that was exactly the Kansas point. I never call my wife a squaw.
Good idea.
I can say nasty things. You say, rabbi, rap, he's a this, he's a that, but he never calls his wife a squaw.
Good for you. Thanks.
There it is. Ha, ha. So in fact, the Medrash tells us, like the captain told us, that Michal was known as Eglon, and explains why. She was a very independent thinker. Okay, very good. So these are the children, the six children that were born to David, six sons he has from six wives. Later on, we'll have to keep in mind that he has six wives.
By the way, this proves that where they say that Michal didn't have any children, this disproves it, because this tells you
right,
that she didn't have
assuming that Egla is Michal, right, then you have to say that obviously she had a child.
Yeah.
Correct? So this battle, this civil war is going on, and Avner is the person that is really carrying the load on behalf of Ish-bosheth's army. Roshol Pileger Shmo Ritzva Bas Aya Vayomer Avner Madua Basel Pileger Shavi. So Ish-bosheth calls in Avner. Now Avner is the only reason he's got anything going for him, and he accuses him. He says, "How dare you go and marry my father, the former king's concubine?" Avner does not react well.
Does Ritzpah mean floor?
Ritzpah does mean floor, correct? But that doesn't necessarily mean that her name was Floor.
Got it.
Could be Flory, but Flora, Fauna. So this is Ritzpah Bas Aya. So he turns around, he says, "How dare you? How dare you go and marry my father's concubine?" So Avner responds, he says, "Vayichal Avner ma'od al divrei Ish-bosheth vayomer harosh kelav anochi asher Yehuda hayom easeh chesed b'beis Shaul avicha al echav al mreyu al himtzisicha v'yad David atifka v'alai avon ha'isha hayom." He says, "I don't get it. What am I, some sort of dog? You just randomly say, 'Here I am. I've done everything for you, and now you're lobbing accusations at me? What kind of business is this?'" Yes.
What's the restriction of marrying the surviving concubine of the king? I mean, he passed away. He's not there. She is an almana.
Because there's a concept of sharbito shel melech. The sharbit is literally, what's a sharbit? We know it from Megillas Esther. Anybody?
The
stick, right, that the king holds.
It's a scepter.
Stick.
Correct.
Right,
right. So he goes and the king has his staff that he holds, scepter, thank you. And the rule is, once the king dies, you can't, as a show of respect, you can't use anything that the king previously used. Right? You can't use his scepter, you can't use his crown, etc. Only another king can use the king's stuff. So he says, "What kind of business is this? You're not the king. You can't use the king's stuff." So Avner gets very upset. What is this all of a sudden? Here I am going, and I'm trying to save you, your family, etc. And now you're just lobbing accusations at me.
But wait a second. That applies to property, not to living beings.
No, not true. It applies to living beings as well, as we will see. We will see going forward that it undoubtedly applies. Now, there was an Egyptian minhag that I'm sure Jeff is familiar with, that what would they do with the queens when the king of when the pharaohs died?
They would bury their sons.
Either that or they would bury them so no one else could do it. Mm-hmm. Right? So we would not do that. Right? We would not bury them. But once you're married to the king, you're not allowed to marry anyone else. It's the same idea. You can't ride on the horse that the king rode on. You can use the scepter.
Can you marry another king?
She can marry another king, yes.
Okay.
So.
She should have called her husband the king. Camilla.
He said, Alice, I'm the king of this castle.
That's right. And she was the queen. Zoom. Right.
I think that's what it says in the Medrash. So he says, Pasuk says, Ho Yasel him Avni Vacho Yosef Lo, Ki Kasher Nishbad Noel David Ki Chain Yaselo. So he says, you know, in the event that this is true, you know, that let I be punished. Avi Mamachomi Ben Shol Ahakim as Kise David Al Yisrael Vayudim Bidam Veber Sheva. He said, this is the way you're going to act. Let David take over and let him be in charge. You don't want my services? So fine, David will take over and that'll be the end of it for Shaul's family.
Well, maybe the implication from Shaul's son was that the fact that he's marrying the concubine, he wants to become king. So maybe that's why he's...
Right. That's what he seems. That seems to be what he's accusing him of. And the response is, "I want to be king. So why exactly am I doing this for you? Here, I have done so much for you, and now you're claiming that I'm just doing this for myself. Who needs it? Let David take over." How does Ishbosheth respond? Yud Aleph Lo Yachol Od LaHashiv Es Avner David Miyaraso Oso. So he said, you know, he just shut his mouth because he was just scared of Avner. He had nothing to say to him.
Does that mean he broke off the relationship with her?
I mean, clearly this, we'll see that there's not going to be a lot of more talking going on between the two of them.
Okay.
You know, this was like, he said, I don't need this. What do I need this for? So the bottom line is, well, what do you think? Did he sleep with the concubine or did he not sleep with the concubine? What's his answer? He says, you've been sleeping with my father's concubine. And he says, how dare you accuse me? What was it that Ishbosheth made it up? Is that he had bad information? Was it that the information was correct? But he said, I have a right to do this. What is it? Right? It's very unclear.
Well, his
what
response,
the actual answer is here.
His response doesn't clear it up. The response just sounds like indignation.
Yes, righteous indignation.
Correct.
So if you take a look at the Mesha Chachma in number 6, he gives a little bit of an answer. He suggests that perhaps that once David was anointed, any concubine that he had at that point did not have any special rules. Because in order for there to be special rules, you need to be the king. And
I'm not following your logic. I'm sorry.
This is really depressing.
Did we lose the rabbi? Is anyone there?
Yeah, he'll come back on.
Okay, all right.
All right.
You're back.
Not sure what happened there, but I'm back.
So I didn't follow the logic.
I'm better than ever, I tell you.
Yes. Can you run through the logic?
The logic is that that there's only a problem of using the king's stuff if the person is the king. If the person is not considered the king, then there's no problem using his stuff. And since David had technically replaced him, he wasn't the king.
But they're in conflict They're in conflict about who's the king.
Well, they're sort of in conflict with who's the king. On the one hand, they're in conflict. On the other hand, you know, there is an agreement here that right now there's a conflict. Is David the king or is Ish-bosheth the king? This is beforehand. This is while Shaul was still the king.
Right. Then Shaul is gone, dies.
While Shaul is now is gone, goodbye. Gone but not forgotten.
Okay, so the argument then is Shaul's son should be the king. And
well,
I thought
that was the argument. Right, that is the exact argument that in fact Abner is making, but Abner is making that his son should take over, but towards the end of his days, Shaul was not the king.
Didn't Jonathan die with him?
Yes.
Yes, but there were other sons as well. And this is one of the, he lost three of his sons, but at least one other son survived. And that is Ish-bosheth, who Abner is trying to push as the new king. Okay. So with this, there is obviously a schism between between Abner and Ish-bosheth. So Pasuk Yud-beis, Vayishach Abner Malachim el David Tachtov Lemor, Lemi Aretz Lemor, Hakarsa Britzcha Iti, Hine Yadi Imach, Hasei Lechaz Kol Yisrael. So at this point, Abner is ready to jump ship. And he goes over, he sends a message to David and says, let's meet together. I'm willing to join with you and make you the king over the entire Israel. So David says, okay, I'm willing to meet with you to discuss this on one condition. I want my wife back. You show up with Michal, Shaul's daughter, I'm happy to meet with you. Yudal vayisha David malachim al Ish-bosheth ben Shaul emor tno es ishti es michal asher erasti li b'mei aros plishtim. He said, I like my wife, who I in fact married with 100 foreskins of the Philistines, if you remember.
I remember.
Me'im ish me'im paltiel ben laish. What was that? You don't remember?
I said, I remember.
You do remember. Okay, so we don't have to go over it again. Anyone not remember? Good. So in fact, this is arranged. That in fact, she had been living with Palti ben Laish, and now, in fact, she comes back. Vayishach Ish-bosheth v'kocheh me'im ish me'im Palti ben Laish v'yech ita isha aroch v'chua achareh ad v'achurim v'yom erav Avner v'yech shuv v'yashov. So Palti ben Laish delivers her. He's crying all the way. He's giving up his wife. And Avner says, that's enough. As we discuss, we'll take a quick look at the source sheet about the relationship between, now, if Michal was married to David, how can she also be married to another guy? That's a problem. You can't really do that. Only one husband per. So just skip ahead a little bit to number 8, 9, 10, etc. That's all related to this. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Michal and Palti Ben Laish realized very well that they weren't married, because she was married to another man. She was married to David. But Shaul insisted that Palti marry her. So the Gemara tells us that what they did, in fact, was he stuck a sword between their two beds. And he says that anybody crosses this sword, they should be killed. So the question is, if they weren't living as husband and wife, why is he crying when he gives her back? So the answer is, the reason he's crying is because he was getting such a mitzvah every time that he was able to live with this woman, but not biblically live with the woman. And now this was the end of it for him. So it was good while it lasted. The Rashba, number 9, asks an interesting question. He wants to know, why is it that David went and took her back? How does he know that she wasn't living with another man? In the event that a man is married to a woman, the woman's unfaithful, right? At that point, the fellow has to divorce her. So how does he know that they weren't living together? So the Rashba says that there were navis in those days. There was a prophet who was able to tell him that it wasn't, that they never lived together. Okay, very nice. So David gets his wife back. That closes that story. Remember, that story goes back all the way to the story of Goliath, right? The reason David got to marry her is because he killed Goliath. And then right. Saul was trying to back out on it.
Right.
It's all related to that. So, Yitzayin, Udvar Abne, Haya im Zikne Yisrael, Mor im Tmol Gam Shoshom, Hayisem Evakshim Es David Lemelchalechem. So Avner turns to the leaders, not the king. He says, listen, you guys always wanted David. Let's be honest here. Vata asu ki adonai amar el David lemor b'yad David avdi hoshias ami yisrael b'yad aplishim b'yad koi ve'em. I happen to know that God wants David also. David has a guarantee that he can keep us safe from the Philistines and all of our enemies. Let's drop Ish-boshes and let's go with David. So he shows up and Avner tells David, listen, you've got support. You have support of all of Israel and you even have support of Binyamin. Why is Binyamin different than the rest of Israel?
It's a tribe of Shaul.
Correct. That even Shaul's personal tribe, they're not going to stand by him anymore. Shaul's tribe is going to are throwing their lot with you. So he says to him, you know, we're set, right? Everybody agrees. Each bosh is going to be pushed by the wayside, and you're going to take over everything. So he shows up with 20 people, and David's, you know, it's a nice get together. He makes a little meal for them. They should enjoy.
Do we assume Michal is with them? Because it doesn't say that.
No, Michal was delivered beforehand.
Earlier by Ish-boshet.
Right, no, not by Ish-boshet. But delivered by Avner produced her. Once Avner produced, so he said, okay, now we can have a meeting. Now I know you're serious.
Okay.
So Chaf Aleph, Vayomer Avner el David, Akuma ve'elecha ve'akabtsa el Adoni ha-melech, as kol Yisrael, v'yichusu itcha bris malach, t'b'chol asher tave nafshecha, v'yishat David es Avner ve'elech b'shalom. So he says to him, listen, I've got everybody who's willing to support you. David says, thank you very much. Go with peace. Yelech b'shalom. If you look at the source sheet, you'll see that the words lech b'shalom is not a good sign. Right? There's two ways you can send someone off. You take a look at number 10, the Gemara in Brachas. Elalech Lishalom. Don't say go with peace, but rather go to peace. Yisro says to Moshe, go with peace, and he's successful. David, Shomar Avshalom, Lech Bishalom, Halach Venitla. Now, when David says to Avshalom, in a few weeks from now, go with peace, he's going to get hung. And we have Avin Halevi, Aniftim, and Ames, Al Yom Alech, Lishalom, Elech Bishalom, Shnemar, Vatatol, Avicha, Bishalom.
Is there strife between David and Avner?
No.
So did you get
David and Avner? They were in good friends.
No, I get that, but it's Avner who facilitates this pact, basically.
Correct. So again, but David, I don't know how much David trusts Avner. Remember, Avner is the one who was trying to get him killed while Shaul was the king. And it's the same Avner who now put up the competition against him. Right?
Yes, but it seems that he's made a turn. It seems that he's made a 180 turn against Ish-Boshet, and he's facilitating everyone behind David. So why wouldn't David...
Assuming that David trusts him. This could all be a ploy.
Okay.
Right? It doesn't go with peace. So, what happens then? Kopes, v'nei abdei David v'yoa bo mea gudur v'shalal rav imam heviyu v'avner einenu im David v'chevron ki shilcho v'eiloch b'shalom. So now, of course, David is meeting, and he did not tell his general about this. And Yoav shows up after a victory on the battlefield, and Avner's already gone. Yoav ha'chotzava asher ito ba v'yigidu l'yoav v'yimor ba Avner ben Ner el ha'mel v'yishalcheyu v'yerech b'shalom. He said, you're not going to believe this, but the people that were there said, you know, Avner was here, and David just let him go. So he says, I don't understand, David. Avner was here. You had him in your hands. Why did you just let him go? Obviously, he's a spy. He wants to know where you're coming, where you're going, what you're about to do. This is all a ploy, David. You know, you shouldn't fall for this. So with that, he storms out and he sends somebody out, says, go get me, Avner. Call him back. And he does not tell David he's doing this. So he goes, he says, I want to have a word with you. With that, he stabs him in the fifth rib, killing him the same way that Avner killed Yoav's brother Asael. Very interesting. But obviously, Avner was... Quite the soldier. It's not so easy to get a guy like him down. So how did he pull it off? So the Gemara tells us a very fascinating story. And remember, these weren't lightweights. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, as explained in Rashi, number 11 and 12, right, he says, Avner, I have a shayla for you. So he says, yeah, he says, I've been learning chalitz and there's something I don't understand. So what don't you understand? He said, I don't understand, you know, how is it that the woman is supposed to remove the shoe from the man? So he says, well, she bends down with her hands and she takes off the shoe. He says, yeah, but what if the woman has no hands? Then what is she supposed to do? How does she do chalitza? So he says that she goes and she does it with her teeth. So Yoav says to Avner, how exactly can someone untie shoes with their teeth? And he says, I'll show you. And now he bends down to show Avner how to do it, to show Yoav how to do it on Yoav's shoes. And with that, with him bent down in front of Yoav, Yoav kills him right there and then. And that's how he tricks him, and that's how he kills him. Now, of course, as we said, David has a running problem in that people think that David hated Shaul. And David hates Ishbosheth. And David hates everybody who hated him. And therefore, because of that, it's going to be very difficult for David to pull together an entire nation if half the nation feels that they're going to be treated like rebels. So now Abner is killed. The assumption is going to be that David ordered the hit. Even though, of course, we know this was Yoav doing it on his own to get revenge for what happened to his brother. This was absolutely not what David wanted.
So David would know about this ahead of time, about Yoav's and Yoav's brother.
Of course. I mean, Avner is dead. Everyone's going to know about that. You can't hide that.
No, I'm not. I'm not asking about Avner. I'm asking about Yoav's brother. In other words, David knew about that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So when Yoav comes back and says, you had him in your hands and you let him go and he's kind of irate, doesn't David have some inkling that something's going to happen?
Well, no, he's assuming that he's the king and he tells him nothing's going to happen and therefore what the king says goes.
Yeah,
obviously,
but
that was wrong.
But Yoav is his uncle. Yoav is his uncle.
Yoav is his nephew.
His nephew. So is Bashar.
Right. So you kind of assumed that, you know, listen, I tell you it's over, it's over. But it seems that it wasn't over.
So again, someone else goes against the king's word, basically.
Right. So I say, look how David reacts. 28. Vayishma David ma'achareichein vayomer naki anochi u'mamachti me'ima Adonai arolam midmei Avner b'ner. His first announcement is, I had nothing to do with this. And just to make it clear, he says, Yacholu arosh Yoav el kol beis aviv. He said, I hereby curse Yoav and all of his descendants that they should be handicapped, they should be crippled, they should be indigent. To show you that I did not support this. So in fact, why did they do this? So they did it, you know, to get even with Asab for with Avner for killing their brother Asel during the battle. By Yomer David El Yoav El Kol Ha'am Asherito Kiru Bigdechem V'Chigru Sakim V'Siftu V'Nei Avner V'Amel David Holech Achrei Amita. So he says, "How dare you kill him? He needs to have a proper funeral." And with that, they take the body. And David is walking behind the casket as a sign of mourning. And with that, when he gets to the cemetery, David cries and everyone cries after him. He cries out and he says, is it fair that the same way that Nabal, the wicked Nabal died, so too would the great man Avner died? Yadecha lo asuros v'aglecha lo v'nechushtayim hugashu kinepol v'lifnei b'nei b'li'avo nafalta v'yosifu kol amriv kostolav. It says you were in chain, no one got you, you were tricked. No one was able to beat you in a fair fight. And everybody cried. Vayavo kol amra havro says David lechem ba'od hayom v'yishova David le'mar kol yas eli elohim v'kol yosif ki im lefnei vo ha-shemes etom lechem o kol me'uma. So the people said, okay, now David, have something to eat. He says, I refuse to eat, you know, for the memory of Avner. I swear I will not eat for the rest of the day. Take a look at the source sheet, just a few comments on this. We take a look at number 14. Right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that all these curses that David actually gave to Yoav all came back to his family. Meaning that David himself, you don't go around cursing people. Skipping to number 16, Gemara talks about the idea of when is it proper for a king to partake in a funeral procession? And the Gemara says, in general, he doesn't. As a matter of respect, the king remains in the palace. However, in this case, where David wanted to make it clear to one and all that he had no involvement, it was appropriate for him to be involved in this. Interesting, the Gemara makes a comment in the middle. Says Kosov Lahachros for Karina Lahavros. It's written Lahachros with a chaf. But you read it like a base, Lahavros. Betri Lahachroso. Originally he said that the relationship is they wanted to kill each other, and eventually that they felt so close that he says Lahavroso, he would actually, there was a certain amount of friendliness. If you take a look, by the way, in number 17, the Radak points out, I have no idea where the Gemara gets that from. Because if you look at our version of the Navi, at least in my version, there is no other way that's not that it's written one way and it's read another way. This doesn't exist. So Radak just points out, it seems to perhaps be one of those cases where the tradition is one way, but the Gemara says another way. So we point these out from time to time. With that, everybody knows that David, in fact, was not involved at all. It was clear to one and all that David was not happy about this. He was not involved at all. You should realize what a great man died today. Obviously, it doesn't sound like someone who wanted someone knocked off. He says, I'm the king. But these B'nai Tzruya, they're not listening to me. God should give them what they deserve. Yes, Patty, you had a question.
No. I'm following the text.
Okay, well, that's the end of the parak then. So at this point, we leave off, just to take check. David is still only the king over Yehuda. But at this point, Ish-bosheth has lost his support. Right? He obviously does not have Avner anymore, and the other leaders have already said that they'd be willing to go along and jump ship. So by the time we turn around to next parak, we'll see that Ish-bosheth is really on his last leg. But we'll take it from there. Next Sunday night.
Yes, are you traveling or are you teaching?
I am neither, probably. I imagine that
Rosh Hashanah, end of Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
The end of Rosh Hashanah.
Right. So probably I imagine that it's not going to be the best night for it.
And, okay.
And we'll have to see, because the week afterwards is Yom Kippur.
Right.
So we probably will not have a class Yom Kippur night.
The following week is Sukkot, but...
And the week afterwards is Sukkot again.
Yeah.
So...
We're probably not going to be on until after Sukkot.
So we're talking about October the 11th?
18th, if I had to guess. Because the 11th is Simchas Torah.
Ah, right.
Unless Rabbi, we choose a different day, but for now, let's assume we're off.
Rabbi, have an apple and honey.
If you insist.
No, just, you know, I would buy it for you. If you'd be here, I'd give it to you free.
Wow. That's mighty generous of you. I'll make a bracha loud and clear.
Yeah. Now call me, call.
Okay. All right. Everyone should be well, and I'll see many of you at the end of the week.
Aksiva Tova, and a happy and healthy year.
You too, to you and yours. A good convention year. All the best.
Chag Sameach.